on the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along. Galvin is on the board, Greg Bach with me in studio. And you can always check in, too, at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Of course, it's Tuesday. That means that Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area will be joining us at 10:33. Next hour, 11:33, she is the fabulous farm babe. Hopefully, we will be able to connect with the wonderful Pam Yonke. She is a farm reporter from Wisconsin, and she's also a friend of the show and a wonderful, wonderful human being. So that's coming up at 11:30 in the 11 o'clock hour. Also, we're going to talk Christmas songs.
Oh, yeah.
There is an old, old Christmas song that for the first time has hit number one on the Hot 100.
Fantastic.
So it is pretty fantastic. And then there's a new song out as well that we're going to highlight that's coming up after 11 o'clock. So start thinking about your favorite old Christmas song, classic Christmas song, and a newer one. We will kick that around coming up at 11:33, or at 11:06, rather. But to start off with, I saw this morning, and it made me go, what? A new bipartisan set of bills, Greg Bach.
Wait, did I hear that correctly?
You did. Bipartisan, meaning both sides.
What?
A new bipartisan set of bills aims to expand access to education and employment for those who are in the DACA program. Now, if you don't know what DACA is, it's the Federal Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program. Essentially, these are people who were brought to this country illegally by their parents when they were kids.
Yeah.
So they really had no control over this. Their parents brought them here.
Yeah.
The proposed legislation, bipartisan, would allow DACA recipients in Wisconsin to get state-issued professional licenses, and then they'd qualify to pay in-state tuition to attend in any of the UW schools. They would be given a tax credit, $250 non-refundable tax credit issued every 2 years to help them offset about the $500 biannual fee that DACA recipients have to pay to renew their status every 2 years. I think this is great.
It's always a good step. It's steps in the right direction.
It is. For DACA was introduced under the Obama administration in 2012. It was supposed to be a temporary program until Congress came up with more permanent solutions. Guess what? They haven't done that.
Yeah.
A permanent solution. DACA recipients are protected from being deported and they're permitted to legally work in the U.S. But these new policies serve immigrants who were brought here as kids under the idea that they can't be deported back to a country that they don't know.
Yeah, this is their home.
Yes, it is their home.
America is their home. These are American people we are talking about.
And some of them now are in their 30s and 40s.
Yeah, millennials, gross.
In order to qualify for DACA, recipients have to have arrived here before they were 16, either be enrolled in school, have graduated, or been honorably discharged from the military, never convicted of a major crime, and there are other requirements as well. But again, they have to renew this every 2 years.
Yeah.
No new recipients were allowed into DACA since it was challenged in the White House starting
when?
In 2017.
Oh, who was in the White House then?
I believe that was Donald Trump.
Ah, that guy. That old chestnut.
There are about 600,000 DACA recipients in the U.S. We have nearly 6,000 here in Wisconsin. The legislation, again, bipartisan.
That's a good word.
In both chambers of the legislature, co-author Representative Sylvia Ortiz-Velez, a Democrat from Milwaukee, says Governor Evers is very excited to see this program.
That just makes you feel good.
It does. It's as you said, it's a step in the right direction. At least 24 states already offer in-state tuition to residents in DACA, and 16 of them allow access to occupational licenses. Under current law, DACA recipients in Wisconsin cannot get licensed for a registered nurse, a plumber, a teacher, a dentist, a barber, even a cosmetologist. And with the labor force shortages that we have in so many areas, this would be a good step.
This is one of those things too where you can, you know, there's always those bipartisan pieces of legislation that come through and say, oh, we're gonna name this bridge after someone, or it seemed kind of, you know, fluffy and feel good. But this is one where you can go, you can hold up and say, you guys can work together. See what you did here? You did this together. This is not the only thing that can be done. Come on. This is what people want to see.
Yes, it is. People want to see things actually get done.
Yeah.
Shocking, I know.
I'm got a little warm feeling in my soul about it. Like that's good stuff. And you know, I know a couple of people who are dreamers, the DACA kids, that, you know, and man, the fear they had for that time when it was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get thrown out into a country I've never been to in my entire life.
And a language I don't speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is good stuff. Congratulations. Good on you, Wisconsin legislature. My no sarcasm whatsoever. Thank you.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in on this, is this good? Is this bad? Is it shocking that they actually accomplished something in a bipartisan manner? Again, we're talking about an article in today's Journal Sentinel. A bipartisan set of bills will expand access to education and employment for people in the DACA program. You can call, you can text. If you're watching on the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, and or Twitter, you can also leave a message on the stream as well.
If you're someone affected by this,
please
call. Definitely. We'd love to talk to you.
Oh, absolutely. If you're in the DACA program, give us a jingle, 844-967-2789.
To be fair, if they're there in their 30s or 40s, just text us.
Okay,
we get it.
Fine.
We get it. Just text us.
We know you don't actually talk to people in real time. Again, whether I can't imagine that Governor Evers is not going to sign this.
No, I can't see a version of this where he says, the only thing I could see him say, give him a little bit more, try a little hard, but I don't think he will, because with bipartisan legislation on immigration,
right?
I don't want to say you take the wins where you can get them, but this is a good first step, because you can always revisit this bill, open it back up down the road and say, all right, let's add these things and let's work together some more and let's help these individuals become American, but like,
and just succeed.
Yeah. Like help become full blown, like hand in the air, take the oath Americans, if that's what they want to do.
It is interesting because immigration is such a hot consideration these days that they were able to come together on something like this. I'm wondering if there will be some heat on the Republican side of the aisle for doing something, again, for people who are ultimately illegal.
They're here unlawfully.
They're here unlawfully.
Yeah.
So they must feel confident that they're not going to take too much heat, at least in this instance.
I think you can, I mean, in the world of spin, you can say, you can use that language they've said before. These are people who came here and they're kids. These are essentially children in immigration children. And who knows, maybe like, I don't know if the Republican leaders will want it, but Democratic leaders and elected officials can step up and cover them too, saying, we worked hard together to do this because these are the important issues. We have other things we need to deal with. This is something we took care of together, and we're proud of the work we do. I don't know. Like, there's ways you can do it, but ultimately, yeah, good on those Republicans who voted for this. And yeah, I kind of step into danger zones when you do it for something so simple and humanitarian. They're like possibly stamping on landmines. That's craziness, but it's just the world we live in now.
It is, absolutely. Speaking of the Republican side, co-author Representative John Macko, a Republican from Ledgeview, he told reporters Monday he sees these measures as a way to help solve Wisconsin's ongoing labor shortage. He said, quote, Wisconsin facing a workforce shortage and a decline in enrollment across our universities. We don't hold children responsible for the crimes of their parents. DACA kids are not guilty of a crime. It's time to get out of their way and let them get educated and join the workforce. Absolutely.
Yeah. Not thrilled about using the word crime. I get it, but not thrilled about it. But I, once again, I get it.
844-967-2789. Troy from Mount Horeb joining us on the line. Good morning, Troy.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
We are great. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
These measures, Troy, that would make it easier for DACA people to get licensed and attend school. Do you think that's good or is that bad?
I think that's great. Forgive me for wondering what the other shoe is to drop.
No, Troy, absolutely, Troy. I said the same thing before we went to air. I said, as exciting as this is, what's next? You know,
where's the surprise?
Yeah.
But I also wonder if maybe this is one of the benefits of Judge Janet getting elected is now that they're going to have to actually go to constituents on both sides. Maybe we're going to see some more moderation from the Republicans.
Possibly with possibly new maps happening. If that does happen, as we've said before on the show, they're going to have to talk to the constituents. All of them. To talk to their constituents.
Yes.
Listen to them and enact laws that represent the will of the people.
It will be a new world. It will be a considerably different world. It will be a whole new world. And I think you're right, Troy. I think it might be, we actually might have to start responding now. What a pain.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
It absolutely would. It absolutely would. Thank you so much for calling, Troy. Have a great day. If you want to check in, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY.
Party.
Talking about bipartisan. Yes, both sides agreeing in Madison on new bills that will make life easier for the Dreamers, the DACA recipients, just as far as licensing, getting licensed professionally, and getting to be able to pay in-state tuition.
Yep.
Which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got along in this segment. Not so much.
What are you going to do to us in this? Come on, Jane.
Coming up. No, we don't all agree on everything, even within.
So what? I don't like Swiss cheese. All right, it's fine.
The same party. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Hello, Amory.
If you're listening, Amory.
On WLAK Lake Air, and good morning to Oshkosh on WISS. Thank you for joining us. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. And you can always join us at 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY,
party, party.
We were talking about bipartisan measures in the Wisconsin Senate and the Assembly. A slate of bills making things easier to end barriers for DACA recipients so they can go to UW schools with and pay in-state tuition and join the state workforce. Make it easier for them to get to licensing and things like that. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing at all.
Texter from West Bend, John in West Bend, says the surprise is the abolishment of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and moving duties to the Secretary of State office with legislative oversight. That's a good point, John. Dan Schaefer coming up from the recombobulation area, and we're going to talk about that a little bit with Dan. Coming up, he will be here at 10:33. So we were getting along on the one hand in Madison, and
everything
now,
was so nice.
Everything was so nice, and we're all getting along, except Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says he does not support Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's move to stop pay raises for employees in the UW system until they get rid of DEI programs.
This is the situation where the Democrats are going, all right, this is not us.
I know, right?
I'm just going to take a step away. I'm going to grab a coffee while you guys just work your drama out.
Duke this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, duke this out. Pay raises for state workers, including at the UW, were included in the state budget that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor over the summer. The 6% pay increase would be spread over the next 2 years. Before those raises kick in, though, the legislature's Joint Committee on Employee Relations had to sign off on it. So in September, Robin Voss, who co-chairs that committee, said he would try to block those pay raises for almost 34,000 employees unless they got rid of the DEI programs.
He's like Wisconsin's own Tommy Tuberville.
Yes, he kind of is, yeah. Actually. During an interview with Wisconsin Eye, Devin Lemahue, a Republican from Oostburg, says he does not back the withholding of these pay increases. He says, quote, I understand what the speaker is trying to accomplish, but we should be focusing on getting the best student, regardless of orientation, skin color, or ethnicity. But he said most employees at state universities don't have control over DEI initiatives. Well, of course they don't.
No, no. I mean, I'm not going to tell someone how to be horrible, but there were better ways of going about this if you really wanted to scrub DEI. Plus, not to mention, you apparently have a best friend over in UW by the name of Jay Rothberg.
Rothman.
There's ways you could have done this, but literally punishing over 30,000 people, you just come off sounding petty. Oh, and racist. Totally racist, but petty.
And cruel.
And awful. Pop, pop, pop.
Lemieux says, continuing, quote, they're just going in and doing their jobs. They're cutting the grass, doing maintenance, whatever. And so with the inflation we have going on, I think I would like to get that done sooner rather than later. Governor Evers suing Republican lawmakers for blocking the pay raises. He says legislators are unconstitutionally and unlawfully obstructing basic government functions to try and dismantle the campus DEI programs.
Yeah, I mean,
so where this is going to go, I'm not sure. Robin Voss's office did not respond. This is from WPR, this article that I'm referencing. So this kind of reinforces discussions we've had from some other insiders, though, that Devin Lemahue and Robin Voss do not necessarily like each other.
I mean, that's been the common thread that, you know, they don't get along, or they do not consistently see eye to eye.
Right.
And I think that comes from the fact that, you know, when you're a politician, you come in and you have a certain amount of ego, you want to get things done, and you expect a certain amount of, I don't want to say acceptance, but like when that other person you have to deal with is Robin Voss, who has basically been running the state in some way or another for the past 2 decades, longer if you want to count his influence in the party and in his district. Yeah, I mean, you had to deal with him a lot. I mean, I was telling you earlier, the first time I ever saw it for me ever happened was when now Congressman Fitzgerald was in Devin Lemahue's spot in the Senate, state Senate. Robin Voss came out and said, if the science was there, if all of the evidence pointed towards it, he would be interested in possibly legalizing marijuana for medicinal reasons. And he didn't share that information with Mr. Fitzgerald because Mr. Fitzgerald's quote, and I'm not kidding you, his quote was literally verbatim. He said what? So it seems like whomever is taking that Senate leadership is always following the tail of Robin Voss, like saying, what are you doing? What are you, come back here. Come back. What did you say now? What did you do? Come back here. I got to fix this.
844-967-2789. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thank you for joining us, Coast Wisconsin.
Oh, thanks for bringing up Robin Voss. He's one of my, between Scott Walker, Robin Voss, and Fitzgerald, they're one of my favorite topics. And I've been with two of them. I've never been with Voss, but I've been with Walker and I've been with Fitzgerald. And we could go on that, but that's not why I called. I called about Voss. I want Republican leadership in our state to talk about Robin Voss and what the greatest bill he ever put together, where both sides of the aisle applauded him as getting something really done for the culture of Wisconsin. Because I know the answer, you know the answer. This guy has been propped up by lies by deception, and their number one favorite way to run a government, closed doors.
Yeah.
He can't function in the light. He can't. He's got to be in the darkness because, you know, the difference between light and darkness, we all know whether it's Christian or just our culture. But his culture is so deceptive that even when you talk to him, he has that grin on his face of a canary that, or a cat that swallowed a canary. He just has that look. I'm lying to you. Can you see it in my face? If you think I'm kidding, the FBI profiles people like that.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bill. We really, really appreciate you calling. We really appreciate you listening. 844-967-2789. Leave a message on the stream as well. Our friend Joe McClear. Oh, Devin Lemahieu doesn't like Robin Voss? Well, as it turns out, there's a support group for that. It's called Everyone.
Yeah. I mean, little inside baseball. While Bill was talking, we have Dan Schaefer backstage for the show right now waiting, and he heard what he said, and I can see Dan laughing really hard at it.
All right. When we come back, we're going to recombobulate with the wonderful Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. And as always, Tuesdays, 10:33, we recombobulate with the one and only Dan Schaefer. Dan, I just want to plug this in real quickly. Tonight, the Knicks at the Bucks, 6:30 tip-off. You can listen on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS in Oshkosh, on WRJN in Racine, and on WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3 FM. How are you feeling about the Bucks, Dan?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm excited for this game. I'm going to go down there tonight.
Oh, are you?
The in-season tournament experience for myself.
I just love how anyone... I see a lot of people come through these shows, and everyone, it doesn't matter if it's our reporters, our sports reporters, hosts, anyone... Everyone says, gotta love in-season tournament time.
I think I find the whole thing immensely confusing.
Well, now this is the easy part. Now it's just like basically like the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament. There's eight teams. It's the knockout round. You know, one and done. If they lose to the Knicks, they're done with this in-season tournament. If they win, they move on to the Final Four in Vegas. So this is the simple part.
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Fine. Go Bucks. You know, we still want the Bucks to win.
Bucks and eight.
Yeah, the Bucks and eight. We got a comment. Actually, we got a text from John in West Bend was talking about the proposed abolishment of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. A story in today's Journal Sentinel. GOP lawmakers propose abolishing the WEC, giving the duties to the Secretary of State. What's your take on this, Dan?
Well, I think you have to start by acknowledging the fact that this is in large part being driven by the 2020 election conspiracy theorists who have been completely unable to let go of Donald Trump's loss for now going on 3 years. You know, whether it's the Gableman stuff, all these different bills to change the way elections are administered in Wisconsin, it all stems from their belief that Joe Biden did not win the 2020 election. So I think it's important to acknowledge where this is coming from, but also the larger context of election administration in the state of Wisconsin. Many states do have their elections run by a Secretary of State. Wisconsin doesn't. For a long time, it was the Government Accountability Board, which is a ostensibly nonpartisan board. Republicans changed that in 2015.
Because they didn't like it.
Because they didn't like it.
Right.
Because they were investigating Scott Walker. And they changed it to be the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So this Republican creation in 2015, they will already want to toss in 2023. And I think, you know, look, it went from a nonpartisan administration to a bipartisan way, which has mostly meant that everything is deadlocked all the time. You have the three liberal appointee or Democratic appointees and the three Republican appointees always at odds over everything. So that's not great. And, you know, right now we have a Democratic Secretary of State in Sarah Godlewski, but that is a partisan office. So, you know, that is an office that could swing either way based on how elections go in Wisconsin. We know it's a very close 50-50 state the majority of the time. Do we want to inject more partisanship into election administration in the state of Wisconsin? I would say no.
Yeah, I'm confused as to how the Republicans think this will work in their favor, as you said, because Sarah Godlewski is a Democrat.
Right. And I think some of those points were raised in that Journal Sentinel article by, you know, one of the Republican appointed members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But I just think, you know, whether it's I think a key to note here is that it would not just be under the Secretaries of State's office. It would include oversight by the Republican controlled state legislature.
There you go.
Of course, has their gerrymandered Republican majorities. So I think it is another attempt to, you know, to
go around the will of the people,
a nonpartisan process, go around the people and make it a something that has the chance to or already would be under more Republican control and not nonpartisan the way elections should be administered.
And to me, I mean, I'm never going to accuse anyone of not seeing the entire chessboard, but it doesn't make sense for them to do this. I mean, of course it doesn't make sense. This is a dumb thing to do in the first place, but you, like we said, we got Sarah Godlewski, a Democrat, If the maps go through and somehow we find ourselves with brand new maps that are at the very least equally distributed and all, you know, it's far more fair. This does even less for them at the end of the day. I feel like in their minds, they see themselves as the conquering group where they'll abolish the WEC. They will get rid of Sarah Godlewski and put one of their people in charge. They will go for another election, and then they will somehow put into place the person they want. Because, I mean, at this point, even she's not up for re-election until when?
I mean, it would be the 2026 election.
Yeah, so
one sides with the governor and the attorney general and all of the other statewide offices. Yeah,
it just seems like a very, very ill conceived bill. Like it doesn't. I feel like it could blow up in their face in so many different ways.
I think there's been so much attention from this election denier crowd in Wisconsin over the WEC. You know, that the state Senate has tried to remove Megan Wolf, the head of the WEC. And I think, you know, you guys were talking about it in the segment before I came on, too, about how Devin Lemieux and Robin Voss don't always have the same priorities. Well, one of the things that Lemieux and the state Senate, the Republican-controlled state Senate, has really made a priority is trying to remove Megan Wolf and trying to abolish the WEC. Robin Voss and the Republicans in the assembly haven't had the same appetite for that. You know, they've been focused on things like threatening to impeach Justice Protasiewicz and whatever, you know,
they got such jam packed days,
a different track. And, yep. and they, you know, there's a little bit of Republicans in disarray happening with the two chambers here.
Yeah.
But I also think it's, you know, this has clearly been made a priority by the state Senate and the Republican state Senate and a number of these, you know, far right election denier assembly Republicans too, that are just hell bent on, you know, doing something about the WEC, getting Megan Wolf out of there. It's all just comes back to their 2020 conspiracy theories and the belief that Donald Trump won re-election when he did not.
And I think it's really important to mention over and over and over again that the Trump administration brought 61 lawsuits, trying to say that the election was stolen, and every one of them was thrown out. And some of these were by Trump-appointed judges. So it's not like it was all a big Democratic conspiracy. And I think people need to be reminded of that.
Well, they don't care. They don't.
There's certainly certain people who don't care whether it's true or not.
But the thing is the people who believe it believe what you're saying, that they're going to go eat their lunch. The people that you're trying to reach are the people who will literally like, and then the FBI came on their spaceships and they oversaw the election and we were fed information 8 hours at a time. You don't understand, Jane. You don't get it. And there's
the deep state.
And some of those people are elected officials.
Yeah, that's true. If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is our guest. We are recombobulating at the recombobulation area. One of the things that we wanted to move on to talk about, Dan, is the city of Milwaukee is actually in good fiscal shape. What?
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's mind blowing.
Let's go home. We're done for the day.
No, it's terrific news. And I think we so often in the fall in Milwaukee, we're, you know, encounter this budget season and we're talking about what's the next cut and where's the next cliff and how is the city and the county going to survive and not slide into Lake Michigan, never to be seen again.
Right.
But that's not what's happening this time. Like we have, you know, I talked to Rob Henkin from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, who has been analyzing every budget in the city and county of Milwaukee for decades. And he said when I talked to him, he's like, we don't like to use hyperbole at the forum, but the word mind-blowing is the word I would choose here.
Wow.
And it's a mind-blowing turnaround where Milwaukee, for the first time in a generation, is not cutting services. The county, for the first time in a generation, is making new investments into things like parks and transit, while it is going to have the first property tax cut in more than 30 years. So I think we need to, you know, it's different to talk about bad news as it is in good news when it comes to these things. But I think this is genuinely some excellent news for the city of Milwaukee. And I think we need to pause and recognize that, you know, Cavalier Johnson, David Crowley have done a lot of hard work to, you know, to make the negotiations that they did that passed through Act 12, the shared revenue and local sales tax, local control law. And I think we're already going to see some of the benefits of that going into 2024, because like last year when I was reporting on the budget and I talked to, it was the first budget under Cavalier Johnson's administration. I was talking to Nick Kovac, his budget director, and he said, and I quote, "There will be cuts everywhere." And that's how it was for years and years and years and years in Milwaukee. There's going to be a cut everywhere, you know, and Milwaukee is going to be given lemons and being told to make lemonade and then be criticized for the lemonade that it makes because it doesn't, you know,
it's not sweet enough.
No, they don't have the tools to make good lemonade.
Yeah. Got to pull your lemonade by its bootstraps.
Can we mix another metaphor in there?
It's like a bunch of people with canaries in their mouths.
I think this is a really important moment for the city of Milwaukee. And I am as optimistic for the city of Milwaukee's future, for Milwaukee County's future, than at any point since I've lived here. I genuinely am saying that because I think this is, once you change the foundational elements here and you allow for some real meaningful, long-lasting change, you know, we're going to start to see the dial turn in the other direction where we're not always talking about what's going to get cut and how deeply and when the fiscal cliff is coming. We're going to be able to do things differently. I'm not saying that the challenges aren't still on the horizon,
sure,
And there will be contentious budget debates, you know, perhaps as soon as next year for a variety of reasons. But to avoid that cliff and to start turning the dial in the other direction, to make some investments and, you know, hopefully grow the city of Milwaukee into a safer, more prosperous place, I think this is a really, really good thing. And we have to take a moment to acknowledge that.
And as you kind of pointed out too, Dan, these deferred, you know, deferred maintenance projects, these go back decades. This goes back to when Scott Walker was county executive. I can remember when that panel fell off that building in downtown Milwaukee and killed someone. And this was all tied, at least that was my understanding, to all of the park maintenance that they had to, you know, everything just got cut and everything was left to kind of slowly fall apart. So this is really the first turnaround we've seen budget-wise in ages.
Yeah, and then instead of helping, oh, go on, Dan.
The county has cut hundreds of millions of dollars over the years. I think like during the Abley administration, this was after Walker made all of his cuts. During the Abley years, he was, you know, a Democrat, but kind of a fiscal conservative. He had to cut, like, kind of play the hand he dealt and cut a lot from Milwaukee County. We're finally starting to see things go in the other direction. And I think that's a really, really good thing.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, when Milwaukee's having problems and they're getting the things are being cut and there's questions on shared revenue, then people are like, well, why are we going to help Milwaukee? It's falling apart. Well, no, you need to help to make it better because we're part of the state, too. We're not just the state of Milwaukee. And the thing that I've really liked about Cavalier Johnson and David Crowley is the fact that, you know, they're stepping up and also talking about it, too. It's a big thing we've talked about before with Evers and Barrett was bad at this too, was talking up the successes.
Absolutely. Stay with us. Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. We will be right back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along with us. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Calvin on the board. And you can always chime in at 844-967-2789. Or if you're watching on the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Want to remind you, coming up after the 11 o'clock news, there is an old Christmas song that just hit number one for the first time. So we're going to talk about that. And then there's a newer Christmas song that I'm kind of liking.
Whoa.
I know. I because I'm tough on Christmas music. But we want to
Dan,
talk about...
Dan, report this. Jane likes something. Put this on the
breaking
website.
News. I know. I'm going straight to Twitter here.
We want to know your favorite classic Christmas song and your favorite newer Christmas song.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about that after 11 o'clock. Anything come to you, come to mind for you, Mr. Schaefer?
I like the various Beatles Christmas songs. I like John Lennon's Happy Christmas.
Okay.
And I like Paul McCartney's Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time because I think he came up with the lyrics on the spot. That's my theory about that.
I don't think Paul McCartney has spent any more than 20 minutes writing any song ever.
What leads you to say that?
Because there's the lyrics are so silly.
So and simple.
Think,
Yeah. And it's. I think he just came up with it on the spot.
Do you think
about that next time you hear this song?
Or a silly love song.
I was going to say, do you think you really toiled a typewriter for silly love songs?
It was hours. It's a six. That sucker's almost 6 minutes long.
Well, that was Wings, baby. That's the 70s. Prog rock.
All right. One of the latest articles in Dan Schaefer's recombobulation area is about an impeachment timeline for Robin Voss to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz, right?
Yeah, so obviously we heard a lot about this story, you know, in a lot of the summer months and fall when Janet Protasiewicz was getting seated in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Robin Voss threatening to impeach her even before she had heard a case. But, you know, as I was reporting on that at the time and talking to some political insiders, people kept mentioning this December 1st date. And I was like, well, what is this December 1st date? So I did a little research on it. There was actually referenced in the story from ProPublica on Wisconsin gerrymandering. But basically, what it said was that if there was a vacancy on the court, if she were removed on the court before December 1st, Tony Evers could appoint a replacement, but the next election would happen next year in the April 2024 election. Now that we're after December 1st, there's something much different happening. What would happen instead if Protasiewicz were impeached now that we're in a post December 1st world,
right,
would mean that Tony Evers could appoint a replacement, but that replacement would serve until 2031. So it wouldn't just be somebody who would be, you know, on the ballot next year. They need, because of some weird law in the Wisconsin state statutes, they need like an, basically like an open election. So that if after 2024, there is a Wisconsin Supreme Court race on the ballot every year between 2025 and 2031. Or at end of 2030. So the next open one would be 2031. So that would basically mean if they did take the extreme anti-democratic step to remove Janet Protasiewicz, now that it is after December 1st, Tony Evers could appoint a replacement, and that replacement would serve until 2031. Very weird thing, but we just passed the date for it, and I thought it was important to note, A, the strangeness of that, and B, just how much has changed in the calculus around this impeachment threat because of that change.
It just seems like such...
horse hockey?
Well, Janet Protasiewicz smoked her opponent, smoked him. And the turnout was enormous.
Mm-hmm.
She got the vast majority of the votes. This whole impeachment thing is catnip for a very small group of people. And I think people will lose their minds.
That,
the voters will lose their minds if they actually go through and do this. I do.
Well, now that, but when you talk about the timeline, it will be interesting to see if he actually does, because then, you know, all these people who are saying impeach her, if you sat them down and say, here's what's going to happen if they do. It's not going to be any better for you.
You're not going to get what you want.
You're not going to get what you want. In fact, you might get something in your mind even worse. I'm sure Tony Evers would probably pick someone like, you know, just as competent and comparable to Justice Janet. But yeah, Dan, do you now see like that mission just kind of fall into the wayside then, because now they've passed that December 1st deadline?
Yeah, I think the impeachment threat is more or less over now. Yeah. So I think, you know, there are, of course, immense pushback to those threats, you know, and I think a multi-million dollar effort from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I think even a lot of Republicans and independents were saying, look, if you want to change things, you got to just go win the election, maybe,
yeah,
instead of try to exploit every loophole to try to retain power in these ridiculous anti-democratic, small D democratic ways. And, you know, you even have Voss convening this secret panel of former judges, all of whom said that he shouldn't go forward with this impeachment thing. Even like far right Republicans like David Prosser advised Robin Voss not to impeach Protasiewicz. So I think this threat is more or less over. And meanwhile, the redistricting case that was, you know, her comments on that issue on the campaign trail that was kind of the impetus for the impeachment threats, that is continuing to move forward. I was at a panel in Madison for that last week, and it seems like a decision could be coming from the Wisconsin Supreme Court between the next 2 and 6 weeks.
Really?
Dang.
On the maps. And I think I spoke with Jeff Mandel. You can see the quotes in the recombobulation area. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, the main group leading the effort to challenge the constitutionality of these maps. He said he thinks the maps are going to be struck down, and he thinks they are going to be struck down by mid-January.
That would be remarkable. That would really be remarkable.
Holy cow. Wow.
But I mean, there could still be a whole lot of different uncertainty with that. Republicans could try to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court, where they do have a majority. Who knows what's going to happen once that happens. But I do think we are at a situation now where sometime within the next, you know, by mid-January, I think the current maps are going to be struck down.
Well, we will certainly be keeping an eye on that. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much for joining us. Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. You won't regret it.
It's not that expensive.
We will talk to you next week at 10:30. Stay close. The news is next, followed by your favorite classic and newer Christmas songs. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks, everyone.
Informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.